That's for my crazy day. My packed commute. All those unread emails in my inbox. But I'm getting stronger, faster, and pushing myself further every day. I don't care if I'm not like everyone else. This punching bag is the best way to end my day.
Fearless is knowing yoga isn't your style. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits at fepblue.org/getmore.
You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, and welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, once again, and always, joined by Spike Friedman. Spike, it's early, we're recording, we're getting this show done. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, you know, bye week, so I've got my whole weekend open. Slide into my DMs if you want to hang out. Don't do that, actually. Do I have plans? Do you have plans, Grant?
I think I have to work a little bit, but I don't know if that was an invitation for me or the listeners, so you got to clear that up, Spike.
It was an invitation for the listeners. I think my DMs are open. I don't know. But yeah, get weird. Or yeah. Don't. I probably don't.
If you want to talk maybe. About Paella with Spike and Chris Richard, then he's your guy.
Yes.
So today's show is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you get up to a 100% bonus on your first deposit. So use the promo code and take advantage of it. And the Seahawks can take advantage of a couple players they might be getting back shortly after the bye week. Deshaun Shedd and Deion Jordan. Both are kind of on the same schedule. Shedd's looking great in practice, Pete Carroll says, but he doesn't know if he's 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks away. So they're really playing it by ear with him. And
not to get too deep into the Carrollology, but looks great is like a B+ on the Pete Carroll. How did he look in practice? Sort of lingo. I feel like looks great is like, yeah, he's solid out there. Whereas if he's like, ooh, boy, he's doing it. You know, he's really out there. He's you know, that's a little better.
Yeah, crushing it is like an A, like a solid A. That's like a 95%.
And also you got to read his face, too.
Yeah.
Because his face betrays the truth. But it's good to hear that he looks great. Because looks great for a guy coming off an ACL is great because that's good. And good is better than nothing.
Exactly. And has some work to do, or he's a ways away. That's like a D-.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That might be. Honestly, that person might never play football again. And that's sad.
Yeah, that's sad. Speaking of never playing football again, Cliff Averill, nothing really coming out with him. So Deion Jordan would kind of be good for depth. Again, we don't know what kind of player he's going to be like in Seattle. We see these kind of reclamation projects with Marcus Smith. And we wonder, if we can turn him into a productive defensive lineman, then that'd be 10 times better than what he was in Miami, which he was basically the most ineffective pick in the top three in a little bit. So if we can get something out of him, that'd be a win for Seattle in that deal.
Yeah, I mean, with Deion Jordan, yes, he was a top three pick. Also, he was a reach into the top three in one of the worst drafts ever. So, like he in a normal draft is like a 20th overall pick. He might as well be Kevin Dodd or something along those lines, which isn't great. But he's crazy athletic. He's 27, and due to the fact that he keeps getting injured, doesn't have a lot of tread on the tires. Or he does still have a lot of tread left on the tires. I guess if we're going to really nail this tire-related metaphor to describe the legs of Deion Jordan. And, I mean, I remember his scouting report when he came out of Oregon, and he was real fast, you know, a little skinny to dominate at the NFL level. I mean, he's a speed edge guy. I was going to compare him to Solomon Thomas just based on body type, but, like, Thomas has been versatile from day one and came out with the capacity to play that sort of, like, rangy tackle, Michael Benedy stuff. That I don't think Deion Jordan's going to do. I love Pete's enthusiasm about Jordan. Love the idea of dreaming on getting another edge rusher. But, like, I'm less counting on Deion Jordan making an impact on this here Seahawks team. And if I'm proven wrong, then, hey, I win. because the Seahawks have randomly found a quality pass rusher for almost no investment. And if I'm right, then I get to talk every day on my podcast about how I'm like, I told you guys not to get your hopes up on this whole Deion Jordan situation. And I'll be real annoying about it. So it's a win-win for me at this point. Grant, do you have a hotter take than me than that Deion Jordan will likely not make a huge impact, but might, and you can be smug either way?
I don't really have a hot take on this. I know it's disappointing. I usually come through with a fire. But to add to the tire analogy, they really just kicked the tires on Deion Jordan.
Yeah.
And they're seeing what he has in store. So the team has until the 21st of November to make a decision to add either player to the roster. So that's the deadline for them. And a guy that really we don't know a timetable with is Malik McDowell. It came out that he had a really bad concussion from an ATV accident in...
Yeah, it's the official diagnosis.
So, yeah. So that's what he's battling to get back on the field. He has been with the team. He has been participating in team activities and some meetings. Again, they're just playing it by ear and really, really taking their time with this, because with something as serious as, well, a serious concussion, then that's something you can't really play around with, and you have to really baby.
Yeah, and obviously there's the long-term implications around concussions and CTE that are sort of outside the purview of our total understanding, but clearly something like this is potentially serious when layered on a lifetime of playing football from Malik McDowell. That said, in terms of like playing ability, you look at someone like Luke Kuechly, who's had serious concussions and then came back the next year. So if the diagnosis is accurate and what we're talking about is a serious concussion, it's definitely possible that McDowell will sit this year and come in next year at 100% or something like 100% and be able to make a huge impact on the interior. It does open up huge questions about what the team is going to do on its defensive line going forward, especially with big question marks around Cliff Avril. They're a couple weeks away from being able to figure out if he can play at all this year ever again, which is scary and a bummer, as we've talked about. And I think we'll inform that November 21st deadline on Deion Jordan, because if Cliff goes on the IR, that obviously opens up a roster spot. But in terms of like looking forward, like Sheldon Richardson's a free agent next year. If you're re-signing him, not potentially having Cliff next year, you've got McDowell coming in. Well, all of a sudden your interior pass rush looks great, but are you going to do what the Jets did with Sheldon Richardson and play him at five tech? Are you going to go out and try to find another end? Can you bank on Frank Clark being your lone pure edge rusher and just have like three monsters in the middle in McDowell, Bennett, and Richardson in the passing game, and then reading the run game? You know, like, it's big questions on the D-line. There are big, big, complicated, difficult questions for John Schneider and Pete Carroll on the D-line coming next year. And, yeah, you got to get this diagnosis right.
Yeah, exactly. We should receive more clarity in a couple weeks when they reassess him.
Yeah. We sort of glossed over the Deshaun Shedd situation. How does the Deshaun Shedd potential comeback feel for you? And are there any other implications you can see from that return? The return of a guy who was a pretty solid number two and a really good number three cornerback for our team.
Yeah, first off, it's just depth. I think that's something we've touched on a lot with a lot of positions, but the depth is so important with a championship caliber team, and you need a solid next guy up, and that's what Shedd's been, you know, almost the whole time in Seattle, and he's been solid on special teams. But I think it gives you the ability to make a guy expendable, and a guy that, you know, has had trouble staying on the field, and, you know, albeit he's played solid when he's on the field, but Jeremy Lane's been dealing with a groin injury. He is always a risk for, you know, a personal foul or an ejection, as we've seen.
Totally unfair ejection.
Yeah, like that was like not warranted at all. But well, you know,
can I just say, hold on, the ghost ejection sounds like my favorite future Mission Impossible movie.
Oh my god, I think we Like, this is, again, something that we shouldn't be talking about on air.
Oh, yeah. What am I doing? We live in L.A. We got to go down to the studio and pitch them Mission Impossible, Ghost Ejection. Tom Cruise,
like, yeah. Tom Cruise throw will definitely be, like, definitely down for that. Like, he's been.
You're out of MI6, Tom Cruise. That's MI6 is James Bond. You're out of the Impossible Mission Force, right, IMF? Doesn't matter.
I don't know, man.
Sorry.
Anyways, Mission Impossible has been getting Jeremy Lin on the field sometimes. So you kind of wonder what his value is. And while it's not enough to bring in, say, a Joe Thomas, yep. I would definitely love if he was a piece in that deal, because Joe Thomas has been the best tackle in all of football for years now.
I want to be clear that we have a we are bringing back the Joe Thomas to the Seahawks rumor.
We're speaking it into existence.
Yeah, because we saw the Brandon Albert thing, and Pete was like, yeah, we worked him out, and then was like, didn't say anything else in a way that if I'm reading Pete right, means we're not getting Brandon Albert, which is a bummer. And the Dwayne Brown thing, there was some heat on Twitter. The heat has sort of faded. So we're going, if we're gonna generate heat here on the Locked On Seahawks podcast, we're gonna go to the top. Who's at the top, Grant?
Joe Thomas.
For Jeremy Lane. Make it happen, John Schneider. Why not? Why not us?
Why not us?
You know what else I ask why not us about?
Let me hear it.
Winning a ton of money on mybookie.ag. You've got, when mybookie.ag, and I want to be clear that you can use the promo code LOCKEDON, I believe, to get up to a 100% deposit bonus. So, again, you can double your odds of winning effectively if you deposit money correctly into mybookie.ag, which pays out fast, has a great interface, and a great app. But I'm asking, why not us on picking some games right and making some money on mybookie.ag? And I'm asking, why not us on this Eagles-Panthers game tonight?
Prime time, Thursday Night Football.
Prime time with a 3-point spread. The Panthers are favored by 3. Both of these teams, 4-1. Both of them really strong, looking like behind the Packers, Falcons, and dare I say Seahawks, because I'm a homer, looking like the class of the NFC. And Grant, do you have a pick in this game? Is there anything you've seen from the Eagles and Panthers that would separate the two in your mind?
Well, to be honest, I haven't watched the Eagles a ton this year, but if I know the Eagles, they're going to fizzle out at some point. Something's going to happen, and whether it's their fault or just, you know, out of their control, something's going to happen to the Philadelphia Eagles. It's football law, and what better night to happen on Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, okay.
I think I'll go with the Panthers to cover the spread.
And I'm not. I'm not going to do that. Right. I'm going to pick the Eagles, and I'm going to do it because the Eagles coming into the season, if you were like, oh man, they're going to be great, it's going to be their pass rush, but the pass rush has only been okay. Like, the rest of the team has just, like, stepped up and been really good, especially on offense. They've had a really nice offense, but with the Carolina Panthers having Ryan Khalil out at center and Matt Khalil in at tackle, that screams terrible things against an Eagles pass rush that is trying to get going. It feels like the Seahawks are going to feel next week against the Giants, where it's like, finally, this murderer's row of linemen is up against the sort of line where they're not just getting pressure, but they're getting sacks. I think the Eagles are going to get to Cam Newton, and I think they will, if certainly keep it close enough to keep that 3-point spread. I want those 3 points. And I actually like them winning outright in Carolina on Thursday night in a sloppy game where I think the athleticism of their pass rushers is gonna make the difference.
Well, I just saw that Carolina played, I mean, well enough to beat the Lions in Detroit, who were 3-1 coming into the game. Their defense was looking great. So I think we've seen, well,
hey,
a new Cam Newton. I mean, Cam Newton, hey, the player, is playing well on the field. Cam Newton, the person, has to work with you publicly. But yeah, I feel confident in going with the Panthers.
Hey, I love this. You can go on mybookie.ag and sort out, are you Team Grant or are you Team Spike? you know, either way. And another big game to pick for us, for me, Packers-Vikings. You got Aaron Rodgers up against I don't know who. And the Packers are only 3-point favorites in Minnesota. Grant, who you got, Packers or Vikings?
Yeah, I'm going with the Packers. I just have a hard time picking against Green Bay when they're going up against Sam Bradford and or Case Keenum.
Yeah.
So they struggled against Chicago, the Vikings did. And that was, I mean, Trubisky, for all intents and purposes, looked like a functional quarterback. But he's a rookie quarterback in his first start against a good Vikings defense. And yeah, it was a close game all game. So I think that speaks more to being led by Case Keenum for most of the game and Sam Bradford for part of it. So I'm going to go with Green Bay. I feel comfortable. I think I'll take the over.
Over 46.5.
Yeah, I think Green Bay is going to put a lot of points on the board, and I think Minnesota is going to stumble their way into at least a couple of touchdowns.
I will say, I'm like, if I were to build a case for the Vikings, it involves the Packers still not having their tackles, but they haven't had the tackles all year, and they've dealt with that fine, and it's Aaron Rodgers, and you only are giving up 3 points against the Vikings. And, like, Case Keenum looked fine, but, like, Stephon Diggs might be out. I mean, the Packers, like, are getting guys back right now. They're having a run sort of like the 2013 Seahawks, where, like, a lot of guys are getting injured for 6 weeks, but they haven't had that guy who's, like, out for the year that's really going to hurt them come playoff time. And I'm very worried about the Packers. I think that they are the best team in the NFC right now. And I'm going to go a little step further, and I know it's controversial given how good the Chiefs have been, but I think the Packers are the best team in the NFL right now. I thought their loss against Atlanta was a little flukier than it looked, or like than the scoreline would suggest. There were a couple huge swing plays that were very borderline. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league. They're surviving with these injuries. I think 3 points is delightful. And Minnesota Green Bay, like, when do you pick against Green Bay? It's crazy, Grant, we're on the same team. You go on mybookie.ag, and you're either on Team Grant and Spike, or you're on Team Anti-Locked on Seahawks. And why would you be on that team? That's crazy.
Right. You're listening to the podcast. You're obviously a fan of either one of the Seahawks, Spike, or me, or all three. So, you know, you kind of like have to pick your allegiance.
Probably two of the three.
Two. I'd feel confident in that. If there are odds on mybookie.ag, I'd be going with two or three.
We got one last pick to make because it's the bye week, and so we're going to spend some extra time making picks. Rams, Jags, we're in Jacksonville. Jacksonville's 2.5-point favorites. The two most unexpected teams, I think, to be in that 3-2 range other than the Jets, who I don't believe in, even though they beat the Jags. Grant, Rams, Jags, who you got?
Ooh, so I say this watching a Seahawks pass rush that should have been better than it was. I mean, the Rams' offensive line has been pretty good this year, especially given how they were last year. By comparison, they're blowing them out of the water. But Jacksonville's pass rush, by all means, is just, it's like a meat grinder.
Really good.
Yeah, so I just have a hard time picking against the Jaguars' defense more than their offense, so...
Yeah, you love to go pick Aaron Donald against Blake Bortles. You love to make that pick.
I know. So it's, I don't. That's a tough question. I'm going to defer to you first.
Interesting. So okay. Well, I am. Oh God, I'm going to pick the Rams, and the reason why is both of these teams want to run the ball, and the Jags' run defense hasn't been great this year. And the Rams' run defense, based on what I saw on Sunday, can stop Leonard Fournette, like, just with Aaron Donald. Like Leonard Fournette was running over dudes and looks really good, but you know who else looks really good is Aaron Donald. So I'm gonna pick the Rams, and I'm going to take those 2.5 points because I don't think that Jacksonville home field advantage is that pronounced, and it's a late game, so the Rams aren't playing at 10 a.m., Yeah, I'm going to take the Rams, but I will say that mybookie.ag offers in-game betting, and I'll say that if a team goes up it's going to be really hard to come back for either of these teams. So my biggest piece of advice, if you're on Team Spike on mybookie.ag, is to hop on there and just pound whoever gets up early, because either Jared Goff throwing against that Jaguars defense or Blake Bortles throwing against any defense without the threat of running the ball, no bueno, no bueno.
Yeah, I'll go with the Rams. I'm not going to pick an over-under because if the Rams go up by enough, I know Blake Bortles has it in him just to make it close and score all the garbage time touchdowns.
Oh, good point. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't feel confident in picking the numbers, but I will pick the Rams, and they'll get the win in Jacksonville.
All right. So we're both taking the Rams and the Packers, which means Thursday night decides Team Spike versus Team Grant. I got the Eagles in 3 points. You got the Panthers. It's exciting. MyBookie.ag. Get on there. Deposit. Locked on. Do it all. Do it all. Grant, what's the rest of the Seahawks news?
All right, so the rest of the Seahawks news is, again, we're circling back to the Joe Thomas rumors that we're starting.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, we talked about Brandon Albert, and I hate this analogy, but I'm going to make it. Joe Thomas will be the Austin Davis to Brandon Albert's Colin Kaepernick.
Okay.
That's my hot take.
All right.
My take that's fabricated out of nothing.
Oh, boy, I think you just inadvertently poured a lot of cold water on our rumor here, unfortunately, because if I'm thinking about who the Austin Davis to Brandon Albert is, it's someone terrible. It's like it's like we're going to go out and get Ethan Poole back on the team. Or, you know who it might be? Terry Poole. That's right. Ethan Poe. We'll actually play Ethan Posick. No, I was like, are we going to go out and get Breno? I feel like bringing Breno Giacomini back, although I think he's starting for the Texans. Is that right?
Yeah, no, he's starting for the Texans.
We can't even go get him unless we trick the Texans into giving Dwayne Brown a contract extension. Then we go in, trade for Breno, bring Breno back into the program, and he's terrible now, so this is a bad news situation.
Dare I say Ibushi would be a better fit right now?
Oh, God. But again, like, we next week, like, against the Giants, who for all of their weaknesses, still have a really good defensive line, we are going to be starting Riso Diombo and Jermaine Ifedi at the tackles, Ethan Posick and Ode Ibushi at guard, and then just like, oh, that's so scary. I hate that.
I don't know if Ethan Posick is going to turn out to be a better guard than he is kick returner. But, you know, if he stumbles into that, then I think we'll be in all right shape.
What did he do on that return? Did he actually catch the
ball? He caught the ball and ran probably like 7 or 8 yards. No, like 11, I think. So he led the team in return yards against the Rams. I think it was Hawks Chronicle on Twitter that had a sort of a timeline of Ethan Posick's time in Seattle. And you look at all the players that Seattle has gone with in his stead, given how versatile he's said to be, it's a little worrisome. We'll see what Ethan Posick's made of against the Giants defensive line.
We'll end up getting Glowinski. It's all terrible.
Yeah.
Or the dog in the This Is Fine painting right now.
Jesus, that's a Photoshop that I'll have to make at some point in time.
We
might be facing a Giants team without arguably their best slot corner, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, who was suspended by Ben McAdoo.
The week after Eli Apple was benched for him.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting to see how long the suspension is and really what the actual cause is, because McAdoo is saying that he was trying to leave the team facility, and then their safety Landon Collins said that that's not the case, and he had an argument with McAdoo and he suspended him. So it's kind of like a soap opera going on in New York right now. We really don't know how this is going to play out, whether it affects his status for the Seattle game. So that'll be an interesting storyline to follow throughout the week, and we'll keep you updated on that.
I'm really confident I'm not going to lie. I'm, like, really confident we're going to win, and I think we just go jumbo. We just throw Tobin back on the field, and we, we just let our receivers win one-on-one and just be happy. Like, and I don't know, like, feed Jimmy Grant. Like, who are the Giants linebackers? Like, right.
As good as the Giants defense projected to be, they have not been that, given their 0-5 record.
And so, their offense is terrible.
Their offense, they barely had their first touchdown by a running back last week. Running touchdown. Eli Manning got their first rush touchdown, which is, you know, speaks volumes about the Giants team.
Eli Manning, not a Bobby Wagner-esque running back prospect.
No, you know, you put tape on, they're two different players, clearly. And they have no receivers. Who is starting for the Giants when they come and play when the Seahawks come and play New York?
Honestly, have no idea at receiver. I have, like, no idea. I mean, run. I mean, like, if I were them, I'd go to Randy Moss. You know,
I was thinking more of the line, like an easier get would be like Brian Hartline or Jericho Cotchery. Like, those kind of players.
How old is Jericho Cotchery right now?
That's something that our fact checker will have to see.
35-year-old Jericho Cotchery. Only 2 years out of the league, though, but
I mean,
I don't know, man.
They can see what kind of chemistry Eli and Plaxico Burress still have.
Yeah, that's a great call.
If he has two operating legs, then that might work out in some capacity for New York. It probably won't.
It doesn't sound like it will.
No, and it doesn't. It's not a good idea at all. And I brought it up just to be petty. I think we could be in store for another multi-pick game for Eli Manning against the Seahawks defense.
That's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling like five turnovers against the Rams. I'm feeling like some of those were a little fluky. You know, Tavon Austin fumbling two punts. Todd Gurley fumbling again, although he has serious fumble issues, it turns out.
Yeah.
You know, picking off a screen pass. The Earl Thomas one is the pressure.
We'll earn the turnovers.
It could have easily been a three turnover game.
Yeah.
Against the Rams. I feel like if I'm setting the over under on turnovers against the Giants, I'm setting it at 2.5 or 3, and I'm taking the over because I think we're getting 4.
Yeah, I think that there'll be true takeaways.
Yeah.
And if there's a game to get the running game going, well, to at least try. They'll have enough opportunities on the offense to put enough points on the board to where they can take some possessions and really see, is this what we're going to do for the rest of the season? Is this, you know, how we're going to go about things on offense? So I think it'll be a game for them to work out and really fine-tune and sharpen their offense.
Oh, we didn't even say, like, the Giants' offensive line is terrible.
Oh, yeah. No, it
giddy.
Marcus Smith might get another sack, which I don't know what that says about the Giants' offense or the Seahawks' defense a little more.
Sheldon Richardson, I just feel like Sheldon Richardson's going to do business. I feel like the vibe I'm getting off of like something about this defense and Sheldon Richardson is gelling really nicely. Like, his vibe is the sort of vibe that I could see rubbing the wrong coach the wrong way. But in Seattle right now, he on the sideline was getting super pumped up when we were scoring and getting picks. He already feels like a really well-integrated member of the team. Totally different personality than the other guys on the defensive line, but a complimentary one. And I think that trade, it's already starting to come into focus. And that's before we've exploited his versatility. He's just playing 3-tech still. And I think it's going to be good. I think Sheldon Richardson post-bye. They might install some, you know, and hopefully they don't waste it all on the Giants. You know, hopefully they save it for our big matchups against, well, I was going to be sarcastic, but they should save it for when we play Atlanta.
Atlanta, Washington.
Exactly. Those are the two coming up where I'm like, let the dogs of war eat or whatever.
Yeah, we'll sweat a little more than Texans and Giants games. I think that covers it for today. Oh,
I will say, I just want to say that, like, one of those two games will be a blowout, and one of those two games will be a nail biter because we're the Seahawks and that's what we do.
That's the only way it can unfold.
Yes. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. This show, again, was brought to you by mybookie.ag. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get up to a 100% bonus on your first deposit. And so why not use the promo code Locked On? I don't see a reason not to.
Yeah, it'd be crazy not to.
Exactly. So I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, reminding you, 5-star review on iTunes with your Twitter handle gets you entered to win some Pro Football Focus Edge memberships.
Boom.
Just one of them. I started with the multiple, and I decided to commit to it. But it's just one.
Yeah. Make sure you listen all the way through that read right now, just so you don't get your hopes up for multiple. So you got to stay true to it.
Yeah, and then subscribe, do the stuff, enjoy. We're going to be back next week. And we're going to be previewing this Giants game and also hopefully having some fun post-bye. Hopefully the Eagles win tonight. Go Eagles, I guess. I
feel dirty saying go Panthers. I just picked them. Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.